We haven't been able to talk to her in a while here on the air. I got to talk to her Saturday night, and yeah, there are those that believe that Dr. Kathy actually won the chili cook-off.
If I had been judging, she would have won.
We have her on the line right now to talk about the sciatic nerve and some of the fun things that we get to experience, those of us that have that shooting pain down our leg. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, that was a fun bonfire and chili cook-off for sure.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks for including me.
Yeah.
It was fun. Had a good time. And we are glad to have you back with us this morning. We've missed you, but we're glad to get you whenever we can get you.
Well, I'm happy to be here today. And sciatica is a very important topic because it affects, you know, probably 3% of adults, 3 to 5% at some point in their life. So that's a significant number of people. Sometimes people confuse it with low back pain, which is far more prevalent. Almost all of us will experience, you know, low back pain at some point. And that's just, you know, below the waist, across the waist, you know, that area. But it doesn't always accompany sciatica. Sciatica is what Mark just described, is a pain down the leg along the nerve. And depending on which nerve root is involved would determine where you feel that pain. But what's interesting is that the spine, the mechanics of the spine, if you're kind of mechanically oriented, which I am not, but I did enjoy reading about this weekend, where the lumbar spine joins the sacrum is where we have the most flexion and extension, and therefore it's the most vulnerable to injury. And so the nerve roots all come out in the little holes called neural foramina below the vertebral body, which is the big block spine that people see on x-rays. That L1 lumbar one, the L1 nerve root, comes out just below in the holes on either side. So it's a fascinating anatomical construction that kind of protects the spinal cord and the nerves as they come out, but it's very vulnerable at certain places. One of those places is down by where the lumbar joins the sacrum, and that's L5, S1. Those two nerve roots are frequently affected, and that goes straight down the back of the thigh and the calf, that's S1, and a little bit lateral to that would be L5. And so if you have that kind of nerve pain down the leg, it's kind of a deep ache for those of you who've had it, sometimes accompanied by tingling or like an electrical feeling. It's not pleasant, and you want to do something about it. A lot of people want to know, well, why does this happen? Well, back to the anatomy, the spine is composed of it's like a fortress surrounding our neural tissue. The spinal cord is extremely vulnerable, so we have to protect it, right? So the spines that are in front with the discs in between each spine protect the front. And then it has these like little arms pointing backwards called pedicles that have then wings that go out in different directions. And those wings abut each other at a certain point. And those are facet joints. And then they make the neural foramina then where the nerves come out. So all of this is very intricate. But as we age, we have degenerative disease where our discs get narrower. They kind of dry up or desiccate. And then the distance between the two vertebral bodies diminishes, and that alters the anatomy and can cause some slippage. It can also cause some secondary bone formation because as the spines get closer together, they shift the weight bearing, and then areas of the spine that shouldn't be bearing more weight do, and then they make bone. Our bodies make bone. So these are called osteophytes.
Wow.
And those are those little knobby white things that you'll see on an x-ray. Well, it, just like real estate, location, 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 right? So if you have a little knobby bone thing that's forming in an area where there's no neural tissue, you don't care. You never know you had it.
Right.
But if it happens to form right next to that little opening, that neural foramina where the the nerve is coming out, well, now instead of having this nice space to come in and out, the nerve is being crowded by this white bony growth. And that's degenerative disc disease. In a nutshell, that can then create osteophytes and pinched nerves.
Hmm.
And because L5-S1 is the most vulnerable place, that's where you're going to see most of this. L4 is the second most common area. And that kind of wraps around the side of your thigh and the front of your calf. So anyway, sciatica is pretty common. And when people get it, they're often, you know, very much in pain. And they want to know why this happened. Well, most of the time it's from what I just described. It's usually more in the older folks when it's degenerative, but young people can get sciatica too, and you wonder, well, what happened there? Well, the discs that are in between the spines, they're composed of two parts. There's the inner part called the nucleus pulposus, which is kind of soft, and then there's the annulosus, the fibrosis part on the outside. Sometimes it's almost like a chocolate eclair. I can go foodie with you, Janet.
Okay.
The nucleus pulposus is soft, and it will kind of bulge out and herniate into the canal where the spinal cord is coming down. Mm. And if you have an extreme injury in sports or a car accident or something like that, the younger people have a lot of soft nucleus pulposus left, and that can herniate big time and push on some of the neural tissue. So young people can get sciatica from that kind of a situation. Those of us who are, you know, beyond 40 or 50, we start getting the dried up disc stuff and the degenerative changes and then the osteophyte formation. So those are the most common reasons that people get sciatica, and that's just by far and away most. However, some people can get sciatica from more nefarious things like infections. You can get an abscess in your spine, and that can put pressure on the nerve, or you can have sarcoidosis or Guillain-Barré. Sometimes really bad things like cancer spreads to the spine, and the metastatic growth will put pressure on there. And there's also vascular disease. But people should not jump to those conclusions unless they have other kinds of history. Almost all sciatica is garden variety, and depending on your age group, would be those benign causes, which are, you know, annoying but treatable. So the bottom line is, if you have sciatica and it's lasting longer than a couple weeks, you should probably see a provider of care so that you can get evaluated. But if you don't have a history of cancer and you're not running fevers and, you know, have some bizarre diseases going on, I wouldn't worry that it's anything more than just the annoying stuff.
Two things here. Just when we talked the other night, I told you what a gentleman told me years ago in construction. I kept having a problem. My wallet was causing my sciatic problem in my right leg, because I had my wallet in my back pocket. Tell us what.
Yes. You know you're getting old when.
No. That's like a separate whole category that women never experience, because I don't know any women that put wallets in their back pocket.
Right, that's right.
But, you know, as you're sitting on a chair, if you put your hands underneath your tush there, you can feel the bony prominences. Those are called the ischial spines. And that's actually also known as the sciatic notch. So the sciatic nerve forms way up above in your spinal cord, you know, and that actually, the spinal cord actually ends between your 10th thoracic vertebrae and your first lumbar vertebrae, somewhere around there. Then the nerves that come out actually form a bundle called the cauda equina, and each nerve root comes out in its successive hole. So L1 comes out just below the L1 vertebral body in its neural foramina and so forth. But the sciatic nerve is kind of a combination of L1 through S1, all six nerve roots, and then there's like a bundle that comes down through that spinous process down there on your tush. And so you can actually have peripheral pressure on the nerve that has nothing to do with your spinal canal. So when you wear your wallet there and you're sitting on this lump, you can actually put pressure on the sciatic nerve at that point and get a peripheral neuropathy from it, which feels like sciatica. So taking your wallet out of the back pocket and putting it in your front pocket not only is probably safer from thieves, by the way, but it will help you not have that sciatic pressure.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a real simple thing to solve.
It was. And it
worked. The other ones are not so simple.
Yeah, because I was talking with Rebecca at this weekend, and we were talking about I had gotten a pinched nerve and in the middle of my back, but it made my entire left hand numb. And we were, and she's had a similar thing. And she said, "Well, what did you do?" And I said, "I woke up. I don't know." I woke up that morning and went, "What is going on?" Yeah. And the same thing had happened to her.
Yeah.
She just woke up. It was like that. Sometimes we can't explain it, you know. So.
Well, and a lot of times it could be 30 to 50% of the time you're going to find an inciting event. So, Janet, you're describing more of a cervical upper thoracic nerve down the arm. But the whole spinal column is formed very similarly, where the nerve roots come out at the hole below the spinal area. So So all the nerves that feed the arms come out from the neck and upper thoracic spines, which is, you know, across the top of your back there.
Yeah.
And then all the thoracic nerves come out between T1 and T12 around your trunk, and then the lumbosacral region is below and feeds the legs. So it's true anywhere, but if you have some kind of an inciting event where you lifted something too heavy, mm-hmm. or, you know, you had a car accident or something happened, you can almost always track it back to that. In about 30 to 50% of cases, when something like that happens, you'll be able to say, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't have lifted that,
right.
you know, 100-pound sack of whatever.
Fill in the blank, right.
I should, yeah. So, yeah, but sometimes people don't figure out what happened. They literally just wake up and there it is.
Right.
But it may have been, you know, just the wrong place, wrong time, where you laid too, you know, in a pillow the wrong way. And, you know, so some of these nerves can get pinched, just like the wallet scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You can have muscles that are on the outside of your neck that can spasm around a nerve. So your spinal column is actually fine, but the nerves are being pinched by the muscles outside. And so you treat the muscle spasm and everything gets better. So it really, you really need a person who's taking care of your doctor, et cetera, to take a look at you, get the history, find out all the exacerbating factors, meaning what makes you worse, what makes it better, what have you tried, what happened before,
mm-hmm.
and do an examination on you to see, you know, what nerves are involved. There's motor and sensory. Sometimes people have all the pain, but they're still strong. You know, everything works.
You're right.
But sometimes they have a combination of problems where they're weak and it hurts, and that's more important. There are some very alarming symptoms that people should be aware of. If you suddenly lose the ability to control your bowels or bladder, this is not good. This is an emergency. You need to get help immediately.
Okay.
If you have what we call the saddle area, which is, you know, if you were sitting on a horse between your thighs, that area in your perineum, if that goes numb or tingles, that's not good. You need to get seen right away.
Okay.
And if you have a high fever with these symptoms of sciatica, you could have an abscess in your spine. So
you definitely
need immediate help.
Okay.
Most of the time, people don't have any of those, and treating sciatica is really a staged thing. Most people are going to get better on their own. Excuse me. Most will get better on their own, but it takes a few weeks. So you can, you know, in the first couple of weeks, use ice or heat and rest and gentle stretching. There are a lot of good websites and you know, YouTube videos about gentle stretching for the spine, which you can do. There are medications like anti-inflammatories, like ibuprofen or Aleve, that can combine with acetaminophen or Tylenol.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can maybe get prescribed muscle relaxants if they would be helpful, and possibly steroids. And even nerve pain pills like gabapentin can be helpful. What's really, truly helpful is physical therapy.
Okay.
A lot of times we have bad posture and we don't know how to do the stretching correctly.
Right.
So getting with your healthcare provider to get a prescription for physical therapy is a really good thing. Massage, acupuncture, chiropractic, or osteopathic care is good. Sometimes people end up getting shots in the back with steroids called epidurals. But far and away, most people will get better on their own within 6 weeks to 3 months, which just seems like a long time. But don't go to surgery too quickly. You don't want to do surgery if you don't have to, and that's rarely needed.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That's a lot of really good advice and things that people can look out for. We appreciate you having on.
I just want you to know.
Just one of our favorites.
Dr. Kathy, I felt like I was in anatomy class, minus throwing spit wads at my fellow students.
Well, you might want to go back. This is interesting stuff. And, you know, you're a handy guy. You would like to look at the spine and how it's made. It's very cool.
Yeah, it is. Sounds like it's quite a construction process. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you so much for checking in with us today.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Jam with Janet and Mark.